Thank you guys for the ambience. It's really nice. It's comforting. It's like a cozy blanket. Hey, I'm not going to go to sleep yet. It is awesome to have the crew from World Vision with us today. And this week as a staff team on Tuesday, we had Philip with us just come and share once again his heart for World Vision and what they're up to. And if you don't know, actually our World Vision journey probably started about 3 years ago, and we were a part of the Chosen, which is an expression of World Vision really, and we were the first church in the South Island to kind of become a part of that. And it was such an exciting time for us. We were really gripped, our hearts were gripped actually, when we discovered that we'd be specifically partnering with Bangladesh and in Nilphamari. And there was a lot of tears actually in our staff meeting that day. We were moved, we were rocked, and it was like, oh, God was just saying something to us about where we're to be a real blessing. And you know, we were asking Phil this week around, you know, like how does World Vision really, you know, partner with the gospel? And we can obviously, you know, see the expression of the gospel and the goodness that they do. And I was like, and he sent me this example later that I just want to share actually, and it just highlighted the value of what World Vision do as there are many, you know, there are many organizations that are doing great stuff. But he shared this this story actually of when the Russians pulled out of Mongolia in 1989, and there were no national churches and only four known believers, Christians in Mongolia at that time. There was probably more, but there were only four known ones. And then the doors were opened to World Vision and a whole lot of other missional organizations. And I think specifically World Vision went in and supported 13 Christian radio stations. And now, so 30 odd years later, that is, there are 650 churches with at least 50,000 Christians and a 7.5% annual Christian growth rate in Mongolia. And so isn't that amazing, where you see actually the body of Christ and everyone doing their part in the expansion of the kingdom? And I just thought that was a wonderful example of what World Vision do as we all lean in together and take our part in the expression of the gospel of the kingdom. So I just want to invite Nathan King up this morning to minister. He's got a word and he's got a song in his heart as well. So how about we just jump to our feet? Let's just put our hands together and just honor him this morning as he comes. Thank you, Nathan.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for having me. I have felt very welcome as I stepped through the door this morning. And thank you, worship team, as well for that time. Because, you guys, you make a good sound. And, it's so lovely. It's amazing. Every now and again, I get to do what I'm doing this morning. It's not often, but on behalf of World Vision. And it's such an honor. And I love coming here because I've walked through the doors and just felt the Spirit of the Lord here. And alive and kicking, and it's amazing. So, yeah, you're very lucky with Glenn and Debs. You've got an amazing leadership here, which makes a big difference. So, yeah, it's so cool. I'm also really glad that it's not quite winter yet, and it's a beautiful sunny day, because I come home to Christchurch, and I am reminded, it's very harsh, but I'm reminded how very soft I've become living in Auckland. It's a shocker. So, thank you for giving me a nice warm morning. Not one of those crisp, you know, hearty South Island ones. That's a good thing. Hey, when I was 17, I think it was, it's probably only about 4 or 5 years ago, I was sitting with my guitar, and I was like, just wanting to hear from God. And I was like, what would you say to me, God? You know, what would you have me hear? What's the word for me? And this tune came out. And it's amazing to think that, like, after, in reality, sort of 25 years later. I still, every now and again, hear it on the radio, You May Too, and it still has an impact on people. So, I just want to share that with you real quick. So you know where it's come from.
Can I walk here beside you? Can I speak your name? Can I just be here? Can I speak in anger? Can I speak in shame? Can I just be here? I'm a lover, I'm a winner, I'm a fighter. Gonna set your soul on fire. I'm a lover, I'm a renegade fighter. Gonna set your soul on fire. I'm a lover, I'm a sinner, I'm a fighter. Gonna set your soul on fire. I'm a lover, I'm a renegade fighter. Gonna set your soul on fire.
There you go. Inside story on that. Hey, so I've been involved with World Vision and been a musical ambassador for them for a while now, over 25 years. And it's been a great journey, I must say. It all began it was an event. And after the event, World Vision were part of the event. I'd performed with my band Zed. And after the event, down the back, World Vision were doing their thing, meeting, greeting people. And there was this opportunity to sponsor a child, which first I'd sort of heard of that kind of concept as a teenager. And so I was chatting, our band went wandering around, started chatting to the crew there, and got to the point where we were like, you know what, we're poor musos, we can't sponsor a child each or whatever, but between us, as a at that time, a three-piece band, we were like, why doesn't Zed sponsor a child? That would be cool. So I handed over my credit card details, we signed up, and you know what, I've been sponsoring a child ever since, and you know what, the rest of the band never paid me a dime. So cheeky. So I've been keeping a tally, and there's quite a little backlog there of dollars they owe me, but we'll save that for another time. So yeah, it was cool though. It was just an amazing way to get involved, and man, it's been such a cool journey. My band, just a quick like overview. There's a slide there of us doing our thing in front of loads of people. We've recently got back together and started playing some shows around the place and just had such a great time. It's been amazing. And we're a four-piece nowadays. Have been for quite a long time. But the next slide is us. Who recognizes the guy in the hat? You got it. That's Chris Martin from Coldplay. This was like big day out in 2000. And we were just sort of hitting our stride, and so were Coldplay. It's our drummer on the right there. And then on the left, this would be mega bonus points if you could recognize this guy. The guy looking at the camera. No, it's a tough one. That is Neil Finn's son, Liam Finn. So very baby-faced, and yeah. So awesome. We just had an amazing experience over our years together. It's been so much fun. That's sort of my the beginnings of things, how I got involved, and I was always a big fan of doing the 40-hour famine, as it was called back in the day. There's really anyone else who's been involved in the 40-hour famine over the years? So good, so much fun. So yeah, I think it's the 40-hour challenge now, which is good. It's fantastic. Hey, I do, just before I kind of crack into a little bit more of my story today, I just want to honour someone really special to me, especially because at the moment he's in hospital battling some infections and a little bit of cancer that's been on the rise, and that is my brother-in-law. His name is Mark Grantham. Now, this guy is one of my true heroes in life, because for over 30 years, Mark has been selling chocolate on the street in Newmarket in Auckland, and he's been doing that because he's raising money for 5 sponsor children that he looks after through World Vision. And in that time, over those years, he has sold over 50,000 chocolate bars, which is over 5 tons of chocolate, which is pretty incredible. And he's raised so many dollars for these kids. It's been an incredible journey for him. But the bit that blows me away is that he does it from his wheelchair. So Mark has cerebral palsy, and he has had so many challenges in life. And I've chatted to him, and I remember, you know, I got married to his sister 21 years ago, and I remember early days meeting him and getting to the point where I said, Mark, what drives you to do what you do? You know, you've got a bunch of challenges yourself in life, and yet you've got this heart for others. Where does it come from? And Mark just replied, saying to me, I just want to help look after those that are less fortunate than me. And that attitude, it just blew me away. Like it is something to behold. So yeah, I'm such a massive fan of Mark and what he does and how he views life. It's so incredible. It's such a challenge to me on a regular basis. So I wrote this tune for him, which I want to share. It's called No Stopping You.
Some people take things slow, take a step back when they should go, but there's no stopping you. No, there's no stopping you. Some people fall in line, take no chances and waste their time, but there's no stopping you. No, there's no stopping you. And yes, I see grace, I see the bravery in your face. Your heart, it is straight and true, and there's no stopping you. Now some people spend their lives chasing dead ends and glittering lights, but there's no stopping you. There's no stopping you. And some people throw away their chance to give, instead I'll take, but there's no stopping you. No, there's no stopping you. And yes, I see grace, I see the bravery in your face. Your heart, it is straight and true, and there's no stopping you. And yes, I see faith, I see the beauty that radiates. Your heart, it is straight and true, and there's no stopping you. No, there's no stopping you. There's no stopping. No, there's no stopping you.
That's from Mark. I don't know about you, but I often get quite overwhelmed skimming through the news and looking at what's going on around the world. You know, there are just so many examples of, you know, famine, disease, war, all sorts of tough things going on and in the world. And a lot of it just seems such a shame that it's human caused. You know, we're these intelligent beings, and for some reason we've got this incredible capacity to like really create hardship and pain and suffering for ourselves, which yeah is quite overwhelming at times. I don't know if you find that, but I get that sense of like, oh man, the problems are just so massive. It's so hard. And I do remember probably my first experience of that was back as a youngster in the 1980s when there was a huge famine in Ethiopia. And it was a really big deal. I remember seeing, you know, footage of people starving and these kids and the flies and just the devastation that was going on, and I was only young, but I just thought, man, what, this was the first I'd seen of that, and I was really kind of hit by it. And I remember, you know, sitting at the dinner table one night. I don't know if my mum is great; she can be here this morning. But I was sitting there and at the dinner table with all this food, and I thought, you know, I came up with this plan. I was basically like, Mum, these Brussels sprouts, I do not want them. Okay, and this pumpkin, I hate pumpkin. Can we please just send, I don't want it, they do. Can we send it over to them? Everyone wins, you know? I was only about 6 or something. And Mum sort of explained the logistics of how that was not going to work out, which was a bit sad for me. But hey, you know, it was that first experience for me of like feeling helpless, feeling like, what can I do? This is awful. It's not right. And it certainly isn't, you know, what Jesus prayed when he was with his disciples, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's like, this is not your kingdom come, you know. And I was inspired, though, and it's probably part of the reason I love music so much, but seeing Bob Geldof and the whole push that happened within the music community to say, hey, let's try and make a change here and make an impact and bring about, you know, some of God's kingdom through, you know, Band-Aid and how all these people banded together and made such a huge difference. It was inspiring. I loved it. And you know, it's such a important thing to sort of keep in mind that we have these opportunities as people of privilege, and what can we do? You know, it's very easy to get comfy and get just sort of a little bit dulled and forget how much we really have. You know, in Matthew 25, this is a challenge, but also take some comfort in this. Jesus said, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, very simply. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me. I was in prison, you came to visit me. But the bit I just want to draw your attention to is, because, you know, that mention of overwhelm, you know, is such a big thing, and it does feel a little bit hopeless at times. But he did say, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And I think it's important to remember, individually, we can't solve the world's problems, you know, like that, and thinking that way is just a dead end. And I think it leaves us feeling non-empowered. But, you know, our job is to do something for the one. And it's so cool to have that opportunity through what World Vision does, and that's part of the reason I love what they do so much. Now, you know, I've had an opportunity or two over the years to get to see firsthand what World Vision does, and just to fill in a little bit more of the backstory of why I'm so passionate about what World Vision does, I just want to show you a short clip of some time I had in Africa in a little village called Luguru in Tanzania. Now, it all became like very real for me when I met this young girl called Kija, and she had lost her mum not too long ago. She had two little brothers that she was now having to look after. Her dad would go out looking for work each day, but there wasn't sort of regular employment for him. And her day consisted of just menial tasks and having had to drop out of school since her mum had passed. And man, you know, I'd met lots of people in Africa, and there was always often this spark in their eye, and they were quite upbeat and joyful, even though they didn't have much. But the thing I really noticed, and you'll see it too in this video, is just the weight of the world was on this young girl as an 11-year-old. So check out this little clip of Kija.
Being here is definitely, opened my eyes even further to the need that's in the world.
Good to meet you.
So I've asked Kija if she can take me to her local well so we can go get some water together. So we've just come from Kija's house and we've made it to the well. And it's a little under an hour to get there and back, walking, and the heat, and not easy terrain either. Oh, it's actually not that easy. It's like you're fishing for water here. What is the thing that most worries you? I've seen a little of Kija's life, and it's not an easy one.
I can't imagine for Kija, who's only 11, having to do this three times a day. You know, I would
not be wanting my kids to have to do this all day, every day. It is so good to know that World Vision are here and there is some hope on the horizon for Kija and her family. But we just want it to happen as fast as possible because it's not easy here.
Yeah, got some good news about that place coming up for you in a minute. Now, what I want to do is, the reason I'm here this morning is because I'm very excited, and I'm sure Debs is as well, and the whole whānau, that there is going to be a real focus put on a special area of Bangladesh called Sharankola. And I don't know if you know too much about Bangladesh, but here we have a map, and we're Sharankola is on the southern coast there. But how many, Bangladesh is about the size of the South Island of New Zealand, right? Have a guess, is anyone smarty pants who knows how many people live in Bangladesh in that land area? Any ideas? Hazard a guess. 70 million? Good guess. Keep going. It's a bit higher than that. It's 170 million. All right. So, as you can expect, that's making things a little cramped for these people. Now, some of the big challenges that you'd expect from being in a place like this is nearly half of the people in Bangladesh live in slums. So I've got a few slides here to kind of map this out for us. Hopefully you can jump to that next slide. So they're living, a lot of them are just living in simple shacks, often right next to open sewers. You know, this puts them at huge risk of disease. You know, it's just one of those basics, chronic illness. I'm just recovering from a bit of a cold and, you know, for the last week, I've just been feeling a bit miserable. And, you know, just that concept of having to drag yourself around, I can't imagine how hard life is when you're already facing these sort of challenges and having to earn a living a really, you know, in difficult ways, but also battling things like chronic illness through things like having to, be exposed to disease all the time. It's tough, man. Next slide says 85% of people in Sharankola use contaminated water. So they're grabbing, next slide after that. You know, this is where typically people will be collecting their fresh water from. It's not great. It's not ideal. Waterborne disease is rampant. Next slide. About a third of kids make it through high school, but the majority are forced to work in child labour to help make ends meet. And I've seen that firsthand, and it is not okay. There are children who are completely losing their childhoods to being in a factory, being in some sort of manual labour situation, which is heartbreaking stuff. Next slide. Access to healthcare is extremely limited in Bangladesh. So, on average, it's about 93% who have no access to any form of clinic. So, when something goes wrong, you're on your own. But I've got to say, thank God, World Vision are coming to Sharankola and are beginning to address some of these needs. Some of the plans that World Vision have for this area that are just so critical and so important. To sort of eliminate this problem through water, which is just such a big part of people staying healthy, is rainwater harvesting is one of the big things that they want to tackle. Getting clean, non-contaminated water to everybody. And it's totally doable. It just needs to be set up, and that's one of the big aims World Vision has. Improved sanitation, proper toilets and hygiene awareness. That's a game changer. It doesn't take a lot of money or expertise, it just needs to be implemented, and it can be. Child and mother nutrition programs, you know, bringing down mortality rates. Livelihood programs to teach new skills and bring employment opportunities, you know, that's huge as well. Another big one is climate smart agriculture. So Sharankola, it's on the coast, so they need to build resilience against natural disasters and, you know, the fact that the climate is changing, that needs to be addressed, and it can be. It just needs to be done. And then one big one is also the building of a village development society. So Sharankola is spread over a bit of an area, and these individual villages within the area are essentially quite isolated, and there's no real strong networks of people and leadership who can help bring about major scale change. So by the forming of these networks, they'll be able to tackle some of these bigger problems at scale and with efficiency, which is just so cool and so vital. You know, the idea being that in 10 to 12 years' time, and it's been rolled out a number of times over the last few decades, but World Vision in 10 to 12 years' time will be able to step away from Sharon Kola and they'll be standing on their own two feet. That's the plan, you know. It's not just an endless bottom, you know, black hole where money has to keep going and nothing changes. Things do change. It's incredible. And that brings me back to Luguru, because in Tanzania, when I visited, things were just at the very early phases of development, and it was really confronting. It was poverty at that level is hard to see. But, you know, I've just been so happy to hear that over the years, as things have been addressed, that there's been such major change. The people there are standing on their own two feet, and within the next probably 3 years, World Vision will have finished the job in that area. There will be just a hope in a future where there wasn't one. And yeah, people having a sense of, you know, pride in what they've been able to achieve in partnership with World Vision. Not being just given a handout, but being given this opportunity to partner with them and help make their lives so much different. So the World Vision model is so cool, and it really works. Some of the results that, on average, World Vision achieve in a year. The first slide here says 91% of severely malnourished children make a full recovery. So it's effective. You know, what World Vision do works. You know, these kids are now alive and they have a hope and a future. Thank you, World Vision. It's awesome. Every 30 seconds, a hungry child is fed and a family receives the tools to overcome poverty. So this is happening every day. World Vision provides clean water to someone every 10 seconds on average, and four more schools each day. The sense of scale is quite mind-blowing at times, but our dollar goes so far, and we are so lucky to be partnering with them. It's so cool. And World Vision has impacted the lives over the years of over 200 million children. So a huge, huge impact. And the good thing about the World Vision sponsorship model too is that you don't just sponsor a child and radically change this child's life and then create a whole lot of inequality within a village or a community, because that would be awful and not right. That's the last thing World Vision want to do. The way that World Vision sponsorship works, when you are sponsoring with sponsoring a child and connecting with that child, you're affecting four others as well. And that has a profound impact, and it spreads and grows, and it's a beautiful thing. So, you know, supporting a child like this it's great. And all the physical change to their environment that you can bring about is incredible, and it's great. But the thing that probably didn't really hit me until I saw this next video that I just want to show you is the fact that it's not just the physical that is so important. The profound bit for me is when you are connected to a child and you say, yeah, I want to walk with you on this journey. I can't be there 24/7, but I'm doing what I can from here in New Zealand. The impact that can have inside a child is amazing. And the best way I can show you how this happens is through this next video of Nancy. So check this out. This is amazing.
From a broken family, there was no love. There was a lot of mistreatment from my stepdad, and I watched the other girls getting married one by one, such that by class 7 I was the only girl. At the end of every term, there were complaints from the community that the teachers were adding all the boys' marks to this girl. Because I used to be top in school, I used to be top in class. I remember that day. The teachers called us for an assembly. We were taken to a separate classroom. Write about yourself. That, I can conclude, must have been the first letter to my sponsor. The next time we were called, I received a letter. and she sent me a photo. I remember one of her letters where she said, your photo is in my bedroom, so every time when I wake up, I see your beautiful smile. And I was like, yeah, finally there's nothing wrong with me. That's what I felt. I felt like there's someone out there who cares, who is interested in me. Georgie, you see where your money went? This is what I did, this is what I've done. I'll be very grateful to her. That what you did is what made me choose my current career. And that what you did is what is still driving me to want to grow into someone else. The kind of change you wanted to see in that little girl's life is what I've always remembered, that if I work hard, if I make it out there, then Georgie will be happy.
Oh my God. That was more than I expected and more than I would have ever wanted. Yes, I knew, you know, I was hoping at least that I was helping, but I had no idea to what extent that would go.
Really for me, yeah, when I got that chance to see that for the first time, I was just blown away. Yeah, such a beautiful story that, you know, Nancy's life was radically changed, and that sense of self-worth came through. She began to dream of what she could become and wasn't just stuck eyes down on the daily grind, but yeah, was lifted up. And that's what it's all about. That's God's kingdom come, you know. It's so amazing. Now, at home, my wife and I, we sponsor three kids, and it's because we have three kids of our own. Actually, I'm flying back as fast as I can today because it's my son's 13th birthday, our youngest, so that's going to be awesome. Pretty excited about that. But, you know, traditionally, the way World Vision has worked over the years is you get an opportunity to sponsor a child. You would, you know, choose from a range of kids that would be laid out there, and it's, you know, your choice, and off you go, which is great. And that's the way it worked for me for the three kids that I've sponsored over our time. And but it was at a certain point, I don't know who it was, but someone within the World Vision community had this brainwave that, hey, why don't we do what Jesus talked about, saying the last shall be first for a change, and bring a little bit of that to earth and make it happen. And so this idea of chosen was born. So instead of us, you know, hashtag blessed people, getting to do the traditional model and choose a child we think looks cute or might fit the bill, as far as we're concerned, the idea of chosen is us stepping back and going, yeah, okay, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to submit myself to this process and allow a child in Sharon Kaula to choose me, which, yeah, automatically puts things in the right perspective, I think. I think it's really, really cool. So how it happens is, the sort of technical side of it is, that this morning, the World Vision team are here. We've got Olivia and Phil, and they've set up a photo booth. And what we do is, we take your photo, we get you looking amazing with the special lighting and everything, so don't worry. And in not too long, there is going to be a choosing party that happens in Sharon Kaula, which is a super exciting thing to be part of and to see. And so, Debs, you're going to be there for that, which is amazing. And the way what happens is, all your photos of all you lovely people here today and combined with other churches from around New Zealand are going to be on a big display wall, and the children of Sharon Kaula are going to get this opportunity to scan this wall and choose who they would like to have sponsor them instead of the other way around. And that is the beginning of your relationship. So it's humbling. It's probably a little bit nerve-wracking thing. Oh, who's going to choose me, you know? But it's amazing. So there are printed cards. I've got one here, thank you, Debs. That shows you where you can get involved. So what you do is you can either sign up now and get the process started with your smartphone. You open the camera and click on the QR code, and
that's one way of doing it, and just fill in some details and get started there, and then you can go get your, take your phone and go get started. And the other way is just to see Phil, or if, because if it's too complicated, just go see Phil, go see Olivia, and they can get you started as well with their iPads. So that side of it will be taken care of. The cost is $54 a month, and that is, you know, it's $12 something a week. For some people here today, that's going to be a significant amount. I get it. And there may be some sacrifice needed. You know, you could think about the coffees you're buying, or the, you know, the subscriptions you might have on the go that you're not using so much anymore. Especially if it's a gym one, get rid of that. Who needs that? Just go for a nice, healthy walk. That's my advice. But, you know, for others of us, $12 a week-ish is not going to hurt much at all. And we're just in this position of privilege here in New Zealand. And I think if you can afford it, I think go for it. You will never regret it. I've, like I say, been sponsoring. We have three children that we sponsor. We've been doing it for years now. And I've never regretted the money that I've given, because I've seen firsthand, I'm lucky, I've seen firsthand how effective World Vision is and what a difference it makes. So I would love if you guys got involved. You know, extreme poverty, it's really hard for us to understand if we haven't seen it firsthand, but it is just basically like a prison. You know, it locks people up, and it sucks. It really, really sucks. But through Chosen, you know, the doors of opportunity swing open for these children. And they get to walk out, and they get to experience a different life radically from what they would have otherwise had. And that, to me, is just an amazing miracle that we have the privilege of being able to be part of. And the thing that often strikes me as well, having been there and seen, you know, some of the hardship people are going through firsthand, is I get to do all of this and be part of this from the comfort of my own home. You know, I don't have to go and live in a slum, and I don't have to work a really, really difficult job and get my hands dirty. I just have to sacrifice a little of what I have here to make that difference. And for me, that's huge. You know, I'm just so grateful for the people on the ground doing the real tough stuff, the World Vision community and those working in these places and in Charancoala now today, doing all the hard work, doing the hard graft. I'm so grateful for what they do. I reckon we should give a round of applause to these people, the World Vision team. That for me is your kingdom come, your will be done. It's so cool. So yes, Pastor Debs is going to be heading off to Bangladesh tomorrow very early, which is very exciting. So firstly, you're going to be meeting your sponsor children in Nilphamari. Have you met them before? No, that'll be a big deal. That's going to be very, very special. But then you're making your way to the choosing party, which is on the 14th of May in Charancoala. Now, for most of us, we don't get that opportunity, and it wouldn't be practical for everybody to fly there and do that, but instead, I've got a short vid now that will give us a bit of a taste of what it's like. I think we even have some audio, which is going to be incredible. And this is Graham and Jane Burt, who run Festival One, and they got an opportunity to go to Bangladesh and be chosen and be part of the choosing party there that happened a few months back. So this is for us to check it out. It's, yeah, pretty cool.
Just been a time of joy. It's a joining of two countries. It's an experience of different cultures, which is just fabulous. What surprised me most was that it was a real party. There were balloons, everyone came dressed in their colourful patterned clothes. It was amazing seeing the bright eyes of the children as they chose the photos. They've seen a face and bonded with that photo, choosing a family or a person to have spots of them. Now I feel very happy. I feel fulfilled that we've had someone choose us and they are going to make us part of their lives.
I don't know what to say. It was so moving when She chose us. She could have chosen anybody on the wall, and she chose us. That melted me inside. And I realized how good this is, how vulnerable it is to have to be chosen, and how the vulnerability should be ours and not the other way around. How the choice should be the other way around. Just feels right.
So there's a big job to be done in Sharon Caller, but there is a great plan in place. And yeah, I would love if you would just consider that. Take the time to consider, could you be part of this? Could you be chosen and begin this journey with a whole bunch of other amazing Christians around New Zealand as well? That would be amazing.